What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. Ric Flair Wednesday edition of the Rodcast. Woo! Also a hump day edition of the Rodcast. Hit us up on the Specs Text line 512-337-3776. Also via Twitter, I'm at Rod Bears, my man Wax, that not the fake Wax. I have been told that we do have a pair of tickets for women's basketball versus Texas Tech coming up Saturday. All right, so we'll give those away. Next segment, do you have a specific way you want to give them away, Wax?
Yeah, tell them to call in after they hear the Craig Way Report.
Ooh, nice. I like that. After you hear the... after I hear the entire thing or after I hear the opening of the Craig Way Report?
Once
the
intro. You hear Patrick Davis come in with the imaging of, it's time for the Craig Way Report.
Okay, once I hear the intro, boom, like Pavlov's
dog.
Call
these lines up.
Boom, hit us up on the hotline, 512-447-3776. All right, that's how you do it. So as soon as you hear the opening of the Craig Way Report, it usually comes around 2:30. If I'm doing my job, it comes around 2:30. If I'm not, and you know, around that time. But you should expect it around that time. You do call us, and you're what caller? What caller? First 14?
Yeah, first caller. Here's the preview. It sounds a little bit like this, okay?
Oh, really? You're going
to
do that?
Well, just to give them what it sounds like.
You know people are going to call right now.
The Craig Way Report isn't right now.
People don't care about that.
Okay, you're right.
I just said Pavlov's dog.
You know what the report sounds like.
If you don't know what the Craig Way Report sounds like, then you don't deserve these tickets. Can we agree with that?
I agree with that.
You ain't been listening. You ain't loyal enough
the
to get the tickets just yet.
Of Craig Way.
You don't hear the succulent sounds of Craig Way. When you hear the succulent. Craig Way Report, not around 2:30 is when it comes up. And he said, there's a little intro for it. But, yeah, around that time, you hear Craig Way, you call. If you're the first caller, right? First caller. On the hotline, 512-447-3776. I agree with that. Ricky Bobby, you ain't first, you last. That's true.
Shout out, Daytona 500. Yeah. Week.
You're with a pair of tickets to go see the Longhorn women's basketball team Saturday, 23rd versus Texas Tech. All right, Craig Way Report, hit the hotline up. Boom, be the first caller. All right, if you're not first, you're last. I like that. I got a texter here. Specs text line is lit right now. And a texter here had a couple of interesting texts that addressed a number of topics we discussed in the first hour. But the texter here says, because number one, we're talking about Antonio Brown a little bit too, and gave their take. They said, I think AB, that AB was just, you know, he's just flossing for the cameras pretty much. You know, all of this may be kind of a facade for him, because he wanted out. And I said this yesterday. I said that guys often sabotage relationships, and now you're seeing it with Kawhi Leonard and you're seeing it with Antonio Brown. And yesterday, literally right after the show was done, when I gave that analogy that men don't like to break up with women, they just start acting like a-holes and force the women to break up with them because the women have enough self-respect and dignity to go, I'm not taking this guy treat me like crap in front of my friends and family and everybody seeing how he's disrespecting me. And she will break up with you. If she's a good woman, she will. Tristan Thompson, proving my theory correct. Isn't that crazy? Tristan Thompson was caught. Okay, if you don't know what's going on now, Tristan Thompson, Lifetime logo, Tristan Thompson, who is the baby daddy for Khloe, all right? They got a kid together named True with Khloe Kardashian. Now, Khloe she's put up with a lot of stuff, man. He has cheated on her multiple times, been caught on camera. I mean, on camera in the club, motorboating multiple women. I mean, and she was pregnant. She was pregnant. He was on camera motorboating women in Washington, D.C. She's pregnant, about to have the baby. I mean, she's ready to pop. Within a week, I think she had the baby. Matter of fact, he's probably the one that made her have the baby, the go into labor, because he stressed her out so much. he's caught motorboating multiple women. And then later on, even after the baby's born, I think he's caught like taking some women into like a hotel room or something. Like, he knows the paparazzi are following him at all times, trying to catch him cheating because he's a serial philanderer. He can't help himself. Anytime he's around the JJ that is not his woman's, he wants it. Right? And so this dude, he goes home for Valentine's. That's not home. Goes to L.A. for Valentine's Day to hang out with True and his baby mama, Khloe, which is also his woman. And him and Khloe Kardashian, they hang out. They have a good time. He goes clubbing without her, of course, out in L.A. And he hangs out with, and this is the great spin on the story, Kylie Jenner's best friend. Kylie Jenner's BFF, a girl named Jordan Woods. They're business partners. They've lived together. I mean, they down like 4 flat tires. All right. And Kylie is Khloe's sister. All right. If y'all don't know, Kylie Jenner, Khloe, I'm sure y'all know this, but if you don't, I'm just trying to make sure I connect the dots. So he goes out with Khloe Kardashian's sister's best friend, and they start making out in front of everybody at the club. It's going at it. I mean, several times. This TMZ report, like, man, this dude don't give a damn. He doesn't care. And then Khloe, because of the public shame and humiliation of, man, you, how many times are you going to put up with this dude just making out with randos in the club while you're pregnant, while you're at home taking care of the baby right after Valentine's Day? Girl, when is enough enough? Have some dignity and some self-respect. The reality TV dollars can't be that much. I mean, you got to be good by now. So finally, out of public shame and humiliation, she finally breaks up with him. Like, says, all right, you know what? We're done. TMZ is reporting like she's done. There's no room for reconciliation. It's like, it's not. Now, she probably going to get back with him. I mean, honestly, let's be honest. I mean, they're co-parenting, so he'll probably be, you know, they'll be, you know, getting it on from time to time, and they'll probably get back together, whatever. But right now, she says, I'm done with him. I want nothing to do with this guy. He's such an a-hole. He's such a D-bag. I'm moving on. And he wants to move on. But guys, this guy knew that the paparazzi would be following him. He has been caught multiple times already on video and taking pictures of him cheating on his woman. He knows he's going to get caught. That's why he did it in the club. He pulled a Kawhi Leonard. He pulled an Antonio Brown. He sabotaged that thing. And when she wouldn't break up with him from motorboating to randos in the club in Washington, D.C. while she was pregnant, he was like, damn, what do I have to do? What do I have to do for you to break up with me? Antonio Brown was the same way. He got to the point where he was like, man, I've done everything. I'm Facebooking in the locker room. I'm on Twitter saying I don't want to be here. Hashtag new demands. I'm going to make a video. I'm going to make a video and start talking crazy. I'm going to make a video and just say all kind of crazy stuff. Other teams, come hit me up. I won't guaranteed money. And it's to the point where the Steelers say, you know what? We're going to pull the Rooney family into a meeting with you so y'all can talk. You talk to the ownership because you won't listen to the coaches. You don't want to talk to the GM. You want to talk to the ownership. And finally, when he met with the ownership, what they decide? Man, we're breaking up. We're parting ways because you are just acting way too crazy right now. And I know Tristan Thompson's got something. I mean, he's working with, you know, not only the money, the athletic potential, but, man, the women love him. All right. The ladies love Tristan Thompson. And I think he wanted out of his relationship, man. He wanted out. And she wouldn't break up with him. She wouldn't. The only way she would do it, if he shamed her into doing it and sleeping with or, you know, hooking up with her sister's best friend and roommate and business partner, it did it. He finally did something that was so unforgivable. Which I got to break up with him. Even our family's like, girl, you got to break up with this dude. This dude he's horrible. It's like, yeah, I got to do it. There you go. And he's not really a horrible. I think he just wanted out of this relationship so bad. He's like, I got to go overboard, man. I got to do it. I don't know. Now, the friend, that's who everybody's looking at, you know, with the stink eye. Because she should have known he's a womanizer. That's what he does. I mean, he's trying to get on everything that's moving, man. That's what he's all about it. And she fell for it? It's like, well, you're in with the Kardashians, so you make it. That, like, that's her meal ticket. Like, now she's, like, cut off. She's going to be, like, working at Dairy Queen or something. Like, it's done. It's over. So, anyway. But proving my theory yesterday about Antonio Brown, all right, and Kawhi Leonard. When men want out of a relationship and they're too much of cowards to do it and have that awkward conversation, they just sabotage that thing. They just throw a grenade into the whole damn thing and they just watch it burn. And then they don't, you know, and you
drag
know.
Out.
And yeah, and I'm sure later on they'll, you know, express some remorse about it. Like, yeah, you know, that was the wrong way to do that. I shouldn't have done that. But at the time, it was the only way that you saw to get out of that relationship. And that's Tristan Thompson. He's doing the same thing that Antonio Brown and.
Then they got a pathetic out when they come back, too. Well, why did you do that? Oh, baby, well, I was just immature.
I was immature.
I couldn't break it off from you. You know, I just wasn't grown yet, man. But now
immature is always good. Yeah, you're right. That's a good one to bring up. Oh, I'm just, you know what? You know, I just wasn't in the right mind
that you were ready for me to be.
I was in a bad place. Whatever you gotta, whatever way you gotta bring it up. But yeah, he just proved my theory though right there yesterday. So I had to bring that up. Yeah, Tristan Thompson, he's out of a relationship. He's out of a relationship that he didn't want to be in anyway. And he fell down the Kardashian rabbit hole, and he didn't know how to get out. And now he's out. Like, he's free.
Dude, I just thought he couldn't get out of his own way.
No, he had
the master plan.
He's smarter than that. He knows. He's like, no, I got to get out of this thing. He didn't want to be in the Kardashian, you know, web.
Limelight.
Yeah, he didn't want to. Once I'm in, I'm sucked in. I might end up, you know what I mean? You know how you're going to end up as a male in the Kardashian world? Man, it's rough. Ask Kanye. Ask Caitlyn. Ask what's the brother's name? I forgot his name. There's a brother, the Kardashian. What's his name? Rob. Rob, he's got like drug addiction and he's had issues with all kind of stuff. Man, it's hard being a man. And then what's the dad's name? That was the lawyer for O.J. Simpson. He was O.J. The family gets their initial fame because the dad is O.J.'s lawyer.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's how they got the
Daddy Kardashian was OJ's best friend and lawyer.
Right?
Yeah, he's like one of his
he's
best
gone?
Friends.
He's
yeah.
dead?
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, you know, life is hard as a Kardashian man. I think Tristan was like, I ain't getting in that, man. LeBron gave him some advice before he left, like, dog, get out
Where
of
did
that.
He die?
Get out of that. He had a heart attack or something like that. Something like that. Yeah. Well, nothing suspicious about that.
Now
no.
You got the tangled web weaving now, man.
Yeah, man. I feel you. But that's all right. A random rant there. Didn't mean to stay on it too long. Okay. So we got a lot of things we're talking about. Let's, but we'll go to behind the burnt orange curtain next segment. All right. Let's stick to the NFL and let's get into the franchise tags because the Cowboys and the Texans have franchise tag decisions they're going to have to make. And, you know, the DeMarcus Lawrence situation for the Cowboys is really interesting because NFL Network is reporting that DeMarcus Lawrence is not going to sign a franchise tag this year. Like, he's not going to do it. And I don't know if and Jerry Jones has been asked about it, and Jerry Jones said everything is fine between them. They're not negotiating right now, also, is what's being reported. But Jerry Jones said, you know, that he believes that everything's going to be fine. Like, there's not going to be any contract issues. When he was asked about, is there any tension between the two sides? He said, there's absolutely none. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the best relationships I have or ever had with a player. The relationship is outstanding. But Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network is saying that they're not negotiating and that DeMarcus Lawrence, he's not signing that tag. Here's why players hate the franchise tag. And if you don't know exactly what it is, the franchise tag, and you can actually franchise a tag a player like 2-3 years in a row, as we saw with Le'Veon Bell, right? That's why Le'Veon Bell didn't want to play. It's because, you know, they wanted to franchise him again, and Le'Veon Bell believed, like, no, I think I'm worth more money than that. So the franchise tag, if you franchise tag him the first year, I believe it works out where you get basically top five, like top five salary at that position, or you make 120% of the 120% of your previous salary at that position. It's either one or the other. So the top five average salary at that position, or 120% of the player's like cap number, whatever their cap hit is, which is basically I believe close to their annual salary, but I'm sure there are some other numbers in there. So for DeMarcus Lawrence, his number right now is around $20 million. And that's what his tag tender would be. So that's where he starts his negotiation from right there for his new contract, would be around $20 million too. And DeMarcus Lawrence, because he's homegrown talent, you know, I know the Cowboys are making it a top priority to re-sign him. I'm actually like Jerry Jones. I don't think there's a chance that he ends up going the Le'Veon Bell route. There are some people that believe, you know, he could end up, you know, if they don't get something done by the deadline, that, you know, he could take the Le'Veon Bell ride and decide to sit out. I don't think that is an option. I don't for the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to do everything they can to make sure they re-sign DeMarcus Lawrence because they invested so much in him initially. Remember, they moved up in the draft to go get DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, he's been a guy that they've developed there with the Cowboys, and he's playing a premier impact position as a pass rusher. So I think he gets that deal done. He's probably going to get $20 million or $20+ million, somewhere around there. He did tweet out February 10th, and Cowboys fans are worried about this. DeMarcus Lawrence tweeted out hashtag they lying. We don't know what he was talking about or who he was talking about. There is some conspiracy theorists that believe he's talking about the Cowboys, and that could have something to do with the reports about them not negotiating already. We have no idea what it means. I think he'll be fine. I think Jerry Jones will make sure to get it done because you gotta have you right now. If you're gonna win a Super Bowl, you're gonna do it more with defense. You're closer to being a Super Bowl worthy defense than you are a Super Bowl worthy offense, a Super Bowl caliber offense, I should say. So I think they get that done. And in that same vein, and you look at the Cowboys because they've been really good, and we don't give them a credit for this. The Cowboys have been a really good capologist the last 5-6 years. Then the next 2 years, the Cowboys are going to have $109 million in cap space in the next 2 years. Now, they got to pay DeMarcus Lawrence, got to pay Dak, got to pay Zeke. You know, so it's not – they got some bills they got to pay. But that's a lot of money. Only the Bills at $158 million, the Browns at $135 million, and the 49ers at $116 million over that two-year span will have more money. And those other teams, you know, they're not as far along as the Cowboys are. The Cowboys are – one of the youngest teams in the NFL, if not the youngest team in the NFL. You go look at the metrics about the average age of the defense, average age of the offense, and the Cowboys are among the top three youngest teams in all of the league, and they do have a lot of cap space over the next 2 years. So the reason they've been really good at being able to manipulate the cap is because they have a lot of homegrown talent. They've actually done a decent job through the draft lately. Like, most of that team is built through the draft. That's how you get younger. That's how you get cheaper. Cowboys have done both. And DeMarcus Lawrence was part of that original blueprint. So, you know, he's not going to sign the franchise tender. I think him putting that out there basically means, hey, man, you know, I want a contract and I want the extension. Guys hate the franchise tag, even though they get paid the same amount of money. He's going to get $20 million. And even if they sign him to an extension, he's probably going to get $20 million per. It's like he's been with the Cowboys for, 4 or 5 years now? He's been with the Cowboys, maybe even longer than that. And since he's been with the Cowboys, it's like dating a woman for 4 or 5 years and giving her a promise ring instead of an engagement ring. When you get that deep into a relationship, all right, and you've been together that long, the woman doesn't want any other ring other than the ring that comes along with the engagement, the commitment, the wedding, and the whole shebangabang. All right? Don't even bother giving her, you know, diamond jewelry at that point once you're 5 years into it. Because if you give her the ring without the commitment, then she's going to think you're just an a-hole. And that's kind of how it works with these players. That's why they want the commitment along with the big money. The big money is just the ring. The average per year is a ring. But that's what you're promised with the franchise tag. 120% of your cap hit or top five average pay at that position. But after being with a team for, you know, 4 or 5 years, you want the commitment, and I'm going to be with them for another 4 or 5 years. They want the commitment along with the big payday. And so they want the engagement ring, not the promise ring. So that's why they hate it. That's why all the guys hate it. They don't like it. You know, you could argue that, hey, man, some guys should prefer the franchise tag. You're getting paid the big bucks, but you don't have a team getting long-term, you know, rights or owning your long-term rights over an extended period of time. You're just working year to year. And we all agree the sports is kind of getting to the point where players, you know, even in the NBA, right, the one-year opt-out. Right, was LeBron signed? Two-year deals, one-year opt-out, stuff like that. They always give themselves an opt-out because the deals are getting shorter and shorter for bigger and bigger dollars. So we'll see. I would tell Cowboys fans, don't worry about it. I wouldn't stress about it. I think it'll be fine. The Cowboys also declined the option to pick up Terrence Williams for 2019, so he's out, but he was already being phased out anyway. He only had like two catches last year for 18 yards. He was being phased out anyway. But getting to the point with the Cowboys, and I said they have a lot of money over the next 2 years, $109 million in cap space, and that puts them like top five over the next 2 years in cap space they have available. I still think they, and the Cowboys have admitted that they are going to pursue safeties in the free agent class this NFL offseason. And I'm sure that Earl Thomas is a part of that. Earl Thomas, they tried to make a play to get Earl Thomas last year. Didn't really work out. Seahawks demanded too much. Earl Thomas has made it known via social media and even going to the Cowboys locker room that, hey, whenever it can happen, I would love to be a Dallas Cowboy. So we know the two sides want to get together. It's all about money at this point. Can the Cowboys work it out? Will Earl Thomas give them some kind of flexibility? Not a hometown discount, but at least flexibility. He's coming off a broken leg, and he's going to be a 30-year-old safety. So I know there is some concern there. But, man, if the Cowboys, with that defense, you know, with DeMarcus Lawrence and the best linebacking duo arguably in the league, can add Earl Thomas, and Earl Thomas plays even close to what he did last year, and he was arguably the best safety in the league before he got hurt last year at 30 years old. You know, you could be talking about a Super Bowl caliber defense. I think it's already one of the top five best defenses in the NFL last year. You're at Earl Thomas, you're talking about putting them over the edge. And listen, I know I'm always talking about value of positions, and I know the safety position has become devalued over time. But if you're the Cowboys and you're going all in while you still got Dak on the rookie contract, Earl Thomas may be a guy to put you over the top. So there are exceptions to every rule, and every team is going to look at their situation differently. You know, I did the research on Hall of Fame safeties. There are only 14 Hall of Fame safeties in the NFL right now, 14 of them. And most of those Hall of Fame safeties, they played a really long time in the NFL. You get a lot of bang for your buck with those Hall of Fame safeties. Eight of the 14 were voted to four Pro Bowls at 30 years or older. 11 of the 14 were first-team All-Pro safeties at least once at 30 years or older. 7 of the 14, half of them were first-team All-Pro at least twice at 30 years or older. 12 of the 14 went to at least three Pro Bowls at 30 years or older. The numbers say that safeties age very well, especially safeties that play at a level as high as Earl Thomas, because safety is a position. That's why you move old corners to safety, because your football IQ may be through the roof, but, you know, you lost a step and you're not as quick. Well, at safety, the game slows down for you. You can watch the game develop and go make plays. And that's how I think the safeties, they end up aging like fine wine. A lot of the really, really good ones, they age that way. And I think Earl Thomas is going to do the same thing. So sign him to a 2-year deal, maybe a 3-year deal, try to front load it and get him some money in the front of it. But I think he'd be worth it, especially since he worked with Chris Richard. They've worked together. He was one of the architects of that Legion of Boom defense. And the most important part of that Legion of Boom defense was Earl Thomas. You want to replicate that, you know, bringing him to the fold will be a big part of it. So I'm actually on board with that. I think it'll work out. I think Jerry Jones really wants that move, and he really wants DeMarcus Lawrence. And I think both of those offseason concerns, I think, are addressed by the Cowboys. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about that. Hit some of your texts on the Specs text line. We'll go behind the burnt orange curtain, talk about Larry Fedora, talk about Major Applewhite as well. He's got a new job with the Alabama Crimson Tide, going back to his old stomping grounds. All that and more right here on the Rodcast. This is The Horn, 149 and AM 1260.
Ribbons from the ceiling, it's okay.
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs X on 512-337-3776. One texter was very upset about me breaking down the Tristan Thompson, Khloe Kardashian story. Texter says, are you seriously justifying a man cheating on the mother of his child? Who is this guy or gal? Listen, if you've not been following the story, let me break it down for you like this. The reason Khloe and Tristan got together is because Tristan left his pregnant baby mama for Khloe. So it's karma. So if you want to take the high road, there you go. Learn more about the story. All right. Tristan left his baby mama while she was pregnant at the time and got with Chloe. So, I mean, not a lot of people feel bad for Chloe. Her name is Jordan Craig.
Hey, Rod, we got a winner of those basketball tickets, of the women's basketball tickets. Yeah. Big shout out and congratulations to Zandra. She is the winner. So everybody, please stop calling me.
Thank you, Zandra, and congratulations. And yeah, stop calling Wax. Tickets are done. We appreciate it, though. I appreciate everybody. Yeah, the line's lit up. Everybody wants to go see the women's basketball team doing really well. And Saturday versus Texas Tech, those tickets were for. So congratulations to Zandra.
And this proves that they know what the Craigway Sports Report sounds like.
That is true. We did reward the loyal listeners there. So I didn't mean to get on the texter there. But, yeah, texter, that's the background to the story. That's why there is humor in it, is that it's all coming full circle for Chloe. she tempted a man who was in a relationship with a woman who was pregnant at the time, and she ended up being able to get him. So he left his pregnant woman, Jordan Craig, and then got with Chloe. And it's like, Chloe, if he's going to leave a pregnant woman for you, then when you're pregnant, he'll leave you.
Yeah, how do you not see this?
You know, it's like, how do you not see that cabinet? Like that's.
What did you used to say that ladies like to have a project, right?
They like a project. They do. They do. Yeah. They
I
like
don't
a project.
Think Tristan Thompson. I don't think that is a correctable project.
Well, you know what? The women want to try though. They do. They want to try. So, Texter, I know it may have seemed like I was insensitive. That's why it seems like I was insensitive, because it. That's why I found humor in it. It's Chloe's getting. You know, it's karma. Like. Yeah, you shouldn't have been trying to mess with him anyway. There was a pregnant woman who was in a relationship with him at the time. So that's my thing.
Like my homie who was one of my deepest, truest friends who was in the Marines with me, he had this thing for hooking up with people who was already in a relationship.
Oh, man, that's bad karma, though.
You know it's just going to be bad. You know she's going to cheat on you.
Yeah, how can you not know that? You cannot. And, you know, I'm sure it happens when you wife up somebody or get in a relationship with somebody that it started in, you know, infidelity. It started with y'all cheating on your significant others with them. But you know what?
That's how we got started. That's the first place my mind's going
to. Exactly,
man.
Right. To me, I would go that route, too. It'd be hard for me to trust somebody who, you know, I know cheated on the person that they either made vows.
I knew exactly what you did.
With, yeah, or committed to. So that's kind of my thing. I've always been a one-woman man for the most part. I'm not going to say I've never pulled a Tristan, because I have. I mean, I pulled a Tristan. You know what I mean? I've sabotaged.
Intentionally, though? You sabotaged it?
I've sabotaged many relationships. I have. I knew it was over, and I was like, I'm not having that discussion. I'm just going to roll up.
I don't want to break anybody's hearts.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to force her to think she broke up with me, and that way it'll be better for her. I was thinking about her the whole time. I really was. Like I did it for her. I was like, it's going to break her heart if I break up with her. But if I force her to do it to me, she'll get over me quicker. She'll be like, that a-hole, a D-bag. And I, you know, that's maybe that's what Tristan is thinking. That's all I'm going. Just maybe that's the route that he's going. You know, this reminds me of Antonio Brown. Because to start the show, I made the analogy that Tristan's pulling what Antonio Brown and Kawhi Leonard did with the Spurs and with the Pittsburgh Steelers, just sabotage the relationship. But whoever picks up Antonio Brown, just know, just like Chloe end up picking up, you know, Tristan, if he does the same thing to you that he did to Pittsburgh, you got nobody to blame but you. Plenty of examples. There are plenty of clues that this dude was going to be a diva and he was going to, you know, perpetuate a certain culture in the locker room. Don't act like you didn't know. Oh, I'm so surprised that he cheated on me. No. You should not be, Chloe. You should not be. And even though you try to do the right thing, say that somebody's going to bring on Antonio Brown because he's really hot and he's great and he's fantastic. But if he ends up acting a fool in your locker room and your locker room becomes, you know, chaos and a dumpster fire, well, you can't say you're surprised.
And you're doing more than just hooking up with him for one game.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So you committed to him. You had a baby with him, Chloe. So, I mean, not. I'm sure he'll be a great dad, but he ain't going to be your man. He's made that clear. All right. And same thing with Antonio Brown. We'll see. Is he going to be a good teammate? He's a great receiver, but is he a good teammate? Great receiver. Good teammate? Not sure. All right. So let's go behind the burnt orange curtain really quickly. We got a few minutes here. Let's do it.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
Okay, so, you know, I've been getting into this the Larry Fedora hire, and it's really interesting because today Major Applewhite was named as an analyst for Alabama. So Nick Saban bringing back Major Applewhite, who was once an OC there for Nick Saban when he first started out at Alabama. Nick Saban, man, he's got so many old school coaches that he brings back. It's great. It is truly the Nick Saban coaching car wash. And Major Applewhite's got a little dirt on him. You know, he's got his stock has dropped a little bit. He's gonna go through that Nick Saban coaching car wash like the rest of the former head coaches, and he'll come out squeaky clean and better, looking better than ever. It's worked. And Mike Stoops is there now too. I didn't realize that Mike Stoops is on the staff as an analyst for Alabama too. So add him to the list of Mike Loxley and Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian, Don Capers, DJ Durkin, Butch Jones, Mel Tucker. All he wanted Hugh Freeze, but they didn't. They weren't going when Hell Freeze is over was when they were going to let that happen. But he wanted Hugh Freeze too. So this advantage for Nick Saban of bringing in, you know, these really, really experienced football minds, former head coaches, I think is something now that not only, you know, teams are catching on to, but of course, specifically Texas is catching on to. Tom Herman's trying to replicate that, bringing in Larry Fedora. Word on the street is he wants to bring in David Beatty too, but there's contract issues that are keeping David Beatty from taking an analyst job with Texas. But if it can happen, I think they're going to try to make that happen too. But Larry Fedora was a big get for Texas. My man BK broke the news that, you know, that Nick Saban actually wanted Larry Fedora, and Larry Fedora chose Texas. He had a daughter that went to Texas. He's got ties to Texas because he was born in Texas. So I think that's one of the things that Tom Herman liked about him. Tom Herman talks about alignment all the time, but, you know, Tom Herman likes guys with Texas ties. You know what I mean? Especially here at Texas, he likes them because I think it puts him in so many doors. You know, you make so many different connections as a coach. Tom Herman wants as many of those, that 6 degrees of separation as possible. You know, Larry Fedora gives you another one of those, those avenues. Something else I think they bonded over, talking about alignment, because that's the big buzzword for Tom Herman. They both love 11 personnel, exclusively almost. Tom Herman runs it close to 85% of the time, just like Sean McVay. And so does Larry Fedora, at least so did Larry Fedora at North Carolina. Both of Tom Herman and Larry Fedora's tenures as head coaches has shown a data-driven approach. They're sabermetrical, if that. Or maybe I made that word up, but very analytical in their approach, right? Tom Herman's got the green binder he always talks about. Well, Larry Fedora has bragged often about this database that he's been able to build for years. Throughout 25 years of coaching, he's built one of the most expansive data, situational football databases out there. And he's been a freak about this kind of stuff. He's been obsessed with analytics for a long time. And that's kind of kept him on the cutting edge of whatever offensive concepts are out there. And I think this is why Tom Herman's bringing him in. This is what Tom Herman's going to get from Larry Fedora. That's what kept him at North Carolina ahead of the game with the RPO offense, with the up-tempo offense. He loved Rich Rod's, you know, up-tempo philosophy way back in the day, even before he got to West Virginia. And so he's a big fan of what he calls multi-tempo. Sometimes you go fast, sometimes you go slow. You mix it up. And I think that's what Tom Herman wants to take, the RPO concepts. He wants to take that, you know, that ability to manipulate the tempo, the RPO concepts. And they call it a balanced spread. I think that's what they call, you know, the offensive philosophy, if you will, for Larry Fedora. But another thing I thought was really interesting to look at is his history with quarterbacks. Mitch Trubisky, of course, being the most famous example, top 10 pick. He was a pocket passing quarterback with athleticism and functional mobility. I think the most relevant example that of quarterbacks he's worked with that can apply to Texas is Marquise Williams. In 2015, when North Carolina won 11 games, they had a quarterback who was 6'2", 225, and he ran in between the tackles. He was a power runner. He was basically their, you know, he was the spark for their power running game. And Sam Ehlinger, in a unique sense, he also is a power running quarterback, can run in between the tackles. You know, I think that is something bringing in Larry Fedora, a guy who has experience with that, because not a lot of guys do. Urban Meyer is one of those guys that experienced with quarterbacks who can be the feature in a power running game, but not a lot of guys do. So I think that's another thing that he can add to for Texas offensively. And, you know, one of the other stories that Larry Fedora often brings up is Wes Counts. It was a quarterback he had at Middle Tennessee, and he completed like 73% of his passes at Middle Tennessee, this quarterback, Wes Counts. But Fedora detailed at a coaching clinic how 88%, nearly 90% of this quarterback's passes from, you know, Wes Count were in the boundary. They were into the boundary because he said he didn't have a strong arm and he couldn't make NFL throws. He couldn't make cross the field throws. And yet he ended up being able to coach the liabilities out of this, you know, out of this quarterback. The liabilities in his skill set are coach around them. So I think he's one of those guys that he can bring a lot to the table in a lot of different ways. So I think it's a great move by Tom Herman, man. It's going to have such a reverberating effect all throughout that offense. We'll talk more about that on the other side. And it's not official yet either, by the way. I mean, Texas hasn't really made a comment about it, but all the 247, of course, Anwar Richardson broke the story. You know, a lot of trustworthy sites have already talked about it. So I think you can pretty much go with it until Texas decides to acknowledge it openly. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about that. Also, Texas baseball. We'll dive into a little Texas baseball because they're coming off of their road trip. They're gonna have a 10-game homestand, I believe. So a lot of games at UFCU. We'll dive into that and some NBA news, notes, and nuggets. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is The Horn 104.9 at AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the broadcast. You can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Time for a little crosstalk. My man, Chad Hastings. What's going on, Chad? How you doing, brother?
I'm well, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm not doing as well as Texas baseball is. I mean, a 3-1 coming off that four-game road trip.
Good start.
Coming back home for 10 straight games. Is it 10 straight?
I have not looked that far in the schedule, but you might be right. I know it starts with a four spot with Purdue.
Purdue, they
may be home for a while.
Yeah, I think they're home for a long time. So, but they looked really, really impressive in that Wren versus Rice. Got 13 hits, beat Rice 11-4, and I think everybody's impressed by how deep the pitching staff is. Occupy left field. Give them props for the stat that they've used 16 different pitchers so far this year.
Wow, that's a good number.
That's a lot.
Yeah,
that's a ton. A
lot of depth there. A lot of just mental fortitude. We talked about it on the show. All three of those games in Lafayette had some version of, well, you could have just given up and gone away. But to fight through that game one is impressive. The ninth and tenth inning, to have your bullpen step up in game two, to fight back and not give up down 8-1 in game three. And then, like you said, the bats are really there along with the pitching last night. So yeah, it's a good start. Can't wait till we get to this weekend, because now we not only get to hear them with Craig calling the games, but we'll get to see it a little bit with Longhorn Network jumping in on home games. So this should be a really interesting team to follow.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, they definitely got the bats going. Zach Zubia hit his first home run of the season. So
yeah, I was glad to see that. Love Zubia.
Zubia. I mean, I just love saying the name Zubia.
Zach Zubia.
Great sports name.
He's kind of that. He's kind of that strikeout or home run guy.
That's right.
That's kind of what he is. But boy, when he gets a hold of one, it's something.
No, I agree with you. So Friday versus Purdue, that 3-game series starts up at UFCU.
4-game set. Doubleheader Saturday.
Oh, 4-game. Oh, doubleheader Saturday. Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. So 3 games, but 3 days, but a 4-game set. Okay. So. Also, and we'll get into this coming up tomorrow too, I'm sure, but are you really excited about this Duke North Carolina game?
I am. I always get into this one. It is, I think, the only other thing in sports that it can be compared to in terms of both being just big dogs is Celtics and Lakers, because those two are sitting at like 17 and 15 in championships. But I heard you throw out some of the numbers. Every time they're about to play, when I hear all these equalizing numbers, it's phenomenal that over a certain period, one has one more bucket. And over the last 102 games, it's 51-51.
That's freaky.
Another one I heard, this is the 46th ranked matchup between the two. Duke leads that category, 23-22.
It's crazy.
It's that close. National titles, 6-5 in favor of Carolina. There is nothing to me like it. You go in football, Ohio State, Michigan, one's obviously better historically. Texas A&M, or Texas and Oklahoma. Texas and Oklahoma, it goes both ways. One's got the all-time, the other's got more championships. These two are so close.
All the time.
They're physically close to each other. That proximity you can't top. I don't think there's any rivalry we could think of that gets teams even closer together. What, 12 miles? 7.5? Whatever it is?
Agreed.
Somewhere in there? I always pay attention when these two get together. And I grew up when Duke was the little brother. So I always root for Duke. I was kind of raised to root for underdogs, and I'm a little brother myself and stuff like that. So North Carolina was the big bad monster when I was a kid.
Now the script is flipped.
And now, it's kind of either gone back the other way or it's even. So I always root for Duke in this game. People always kind of look at me weird. It's like, you root for the stuck-up private school? I said, well, when I was coming up, it was Jordan and Sam Perkins and James Worthy, and they were North Carolina, and Duke wasn't much of anything.
Yeah.
So no, I kind of liked rooting for the scrappy Duke team. That's not what they are anymore.
Duke will, I think Duke's going to beat him pretty handily, actually.
From the fan perspective, I hope so. This is, after all those years rooting for Duke, tonight.
I'm just talking about tonight.
Tonight could be a good night for me.
Duke's just so, they're just so loaded. I mean, those three freshmen, Cameron, they got like three freshmen that are going to be drafted in the top eight picks in the draft.
Cam Reddish will be drafted. He'll be drafted where he's drafted, and he's their third best player.
All right, exactly.
That's crazy. Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We'll talk about it right here on the broadcast. Everybody have a great night. One thing, Wax doing a great job. Chad and Kevin coming up next. Love you guys. Have a good night. Everybody be kind to one another. Peace.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.